doesn't sound like a nerd,
but the computers are still scared of him.
And now, it's time for Computer Talk Radio with Benjamin Rockwell.
What do we have on this week's Computer Talk Radio? Let me tell you. Keith M. Zidor is going to continue his backup series with the introduction of Time Machine, Apple's Time Machine. Marty's going to talk about smart holiday shopping for working from home. Steve Geske, he and I are going to talk about barcodes and quite a bit on that. We have the scam series, and I will warn you that holiday scammers, they're lining up for your money. Yeah, of course. We're going to talk about dark patterns and the different little things that you need to be aware of, you need to watch out for as you are surfing the internet and actually in a number of other parts of life. IT Pro Series, AI resumes cannot represent the real you. I've got listener questions. Tom, he wants to link, or he actually wasn't so much a question. He linked, provided me a link to an internet conversation that shows low morals. And Trudy asks about microphones and background noise. David, about Wi-Fi connectivity. All of that here on this week's Computer Talk Radio. The website, in case you missed any of that, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. The phone number, 888-NERD-888. That's 888-6373-888. Let's dive into the news from the past week. Netflix, they've been pushing their ad-supported tier, and it appears to be providing some decent payoff for them. The news this week is that their numbers are at about 70 million monthly users 2 years after their launch, which is then added to about 212 million in the higher tiers. And this is across the globe. That's a big amount of users. This places them well in advance of second place Amazon, that has about 200 million users overall, and the Disney, Hulu, ESPN, etc. family, and they've got about 160 million subscribers across their various individual or bundled platforms. Now, Netflix also shared their happy news when they announced that their ad inventory has been sold out for the two live Christmas Day NFL games. And that also includes some notable airtime for FanDuel and Verizon. That's that whole NFL game thing. That's kind of a push in their latest direction, kind of following along with Amazon, who has Thursday Night Football and a number of other football games along in there. Now, for the longest time, the United States has been relying upon China for rare earth minerals. And some of these have uninteresting, near unpronounceable names. However, they are used in most of modern technology. Neodymium is just one, and it's used to make high-power permanent magnets. Now, rare earth minerals aren't so much rare as they require large amounts of processing to dig out the little bits and pieces of those minerals out of the bigger, huge ore deposits. Now, the goal has been to find more pure deposits in places other than China. A company in Wyoming just discovered a massive, this is massive, 2 billion ton jackpot that may really seriously alleviate our reliance on China and other countries. And other companies in Wyoming are finding even more. This is exciting, as China currently provides 90% of these minerals to the world, and our largest known United States deposit of rare earth metals before this was about 19 million tons, located in Mountain Pass, California. Now, police in Detroit, Michigan, they noticed that they had confiscated some iPhones, a bunch of iPhones, and they were rebooting. And that effectively locked them out of the phones. So they started scratching their heads. They're like, what's going on? So they dug deeper, and they found that this happened even when the phones were air-gapped. They didn't have any connections out to Apple servers or really to anywhere. Now, after this came to light, Well, somebody else came out with information that iOS 18 has a feature that wasn't yet documented, but it performs this inactivity reboot automatically to protect against thieves. So, yes, it's apparently had a side effect of protecting others from law enforcement investigations. So this is an interesting balancing act that Apple may be walking, and it may be siding, as it often has, with the right to privacy for all users. We will need to watch this through future releases to see if this continues or disappears. Now, what are your passwords? I'm not asking you to say it out loud. What are your worst passwords? No, don't say those out loud either. Would any of them make the list of the worst passwords out there? If you use password, for instance, as your password anywhere, it's number 4 on the list from NordVPN. Now, they've been releasing a list of these for about 6 years now based on data breaches. And it found, yes, some disturbing news. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the number 1 worst. Secret, let me in, all numbers like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, so forth and so on. Each of them is a crazy bad password that is on that list. Each of these common passwords and so many more that we think are throwaways can be used against us in these various attacks by hackers and ne'er-do-wells. I frequently point out that the best password is something original and unique to you alone. It should be long, it should be hard to type, and it should not be plastered all over the internet. Q-W-E-R-T-Y-1 is just another one of those. Now, the latest from 23andMe, as they search to find their footing, has been a layoff of 200 employees. That's 40% of their staff. The positive spin is that, ooh, we're going to save $35 million a year. Ooh, wonderful. But this is also part of a deep and hard restructure that they need to do to stay alive. The CEO, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this last name correctly, Wojcicki, well, she's been trying to make take the company private for months as the stock price continues to tank. That savings isn't likely to go far, that $35 million a year, because, well, they have $200 million in income annually, but they're bleeding over $600 million each year. The value, many say, is actually in those DNA records of the many millions of people who sent off their DNA to find out more about themselves. That data, by the way, if sold to the wrong people, like a hack was, about half their data last year was lost in a hack. If that's sold off, that could be disastrous for our privacy, for our future, for health concerns, for all kinds of different things. This is rather unnerving. It seems that the drive to sell earlier and earlier each year before the traditional Christmas shopping season is increasing, and it is already in full swing. Tech headlines this week were all about various Black Friday sales that were already in progress. And this was in tech and various other popular gift-giving areas, even gifts to ourselves. Even more startling were the deeper-than-normal discounts on Apple Watch 10 and the latest iteration of the iPad Mini, where Apple used to allow just a few days and very minimal discounts on brand new items. These just came out in recent, just in the last couple of months. So, and these sales, by the way, lasting for weeks. So, okay, if you're interested in specific new items, yes, it may be worth watching for at least. I am curious to see what things will be on sale for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, but I fear it's going to be hard to avoid the onslaught of ads that are going to be leading up to this. One more item. Hertz Rent-A-Car has said this week that they're continuing to sell off their electric vehicles and will continue through next year. This was a continuation of a massive abandonment of their plans to move towards a much larger electric fleet. Their previous CEO was let go for the various problems with that effort, and the pendulum appears to have swung hard in the other direction. The latest reports are that the sell-off is due to massive depreciation in the electric vehicles, but that's also coupled with their previous complaints, Hertz's previous complaints, of higher than average maintenance needs and a reluctance by consumers, you and I, to rent electric vehicles. Where is that going to leave the struggling industry, which only accounts for about 7% of the cars on the road? Who knows? Coming up next, a couple of listener questions. Trudy asks me about microphones and background noise. That'll be next here on Computer Talk Radio.
Let's talk about on and off.
You mean like light switches?
Yeah, the original user interface device.
And you were there, right?
Hey, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you are. So on and off.
Yeah, only with no humans doing it, like...
But you and I both have our computers on CyberPower UPS systems.
Yeah, so we have power, but there's another on and off.
Oh, right. Online and offline.
You got it. Meaning another UPS at the cable modem and VoIP phone and Wi-Fi router.
And even a low-cost standby UPS can handle those. Better, of course, if it has AVR.
Right, so it doesn't have to hit the battery just because the line voltage drops.
Maybe it's a good time to mention the promo that saves $10 to $15. Details are at the CyberPower website.
And maybe you could put it on your website?
Oh, that's already done at ComputerTalkRadio.com.
You know, on and off. You take really good care of your listeners.
The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com. ComputerTalkRadio.com. Trudy reached out to me. How do I minimize background noise when recording on my computer? So, minimizing background noise during recordings is like soundproofing your car so you can enjoy music without all of that road noise interfering. If you want clean, clear recordings, you need to control the environment. You also need to use the right tools. And a number of different changes can make a big difference in audio quality. Now, what I'm going to talk about, some of this is actually applicable to you with Zoom calls, Teams calls, things like that, whenever you're dealing with coworkers. So hang tight through all of this here, because we're going to talk about a few different concepts. The first off is you need to increase the amount of signal to the amount of noise. Now, what does that mean? Let's bring it down like this. When I'm sitting here recording, my mouth is a matter of just about an inch or so throughout most of my recording. When you hear me, you're hearing my mouth close to the microphone. And if I go ahead and I back away, I'm going to do this little trick here, and I'm going to just shift away. So now you can start hearing, you hear a lot of the noise of the room. You hear different things perhaps in the background. Everything starts to really come around me, all of this noise. So by my just shifting in closer, I increase my signal to noise ratio. And we want that. That is so very important. And next up, you need to be thinking about using a noise-canceling microphone. Now, when I'm on a Zoom call, when I'm on any calls through work, I wear a headset. I know a number of folks at my office that just rely on the microphone that's built into their webcam, the microphone that's built into their computer. And it does have some noise canceling built into it, but not as much as my headset, which has the microphone just a matter of I'll say about an inch and a half, a little bit back, a little bit off to the side, and it focuses in right on my voice. People can't hear most anything that's happening around me. My wife can walk into the room and she can make a comment to me and nobody on the line will hear it. So it's that same kind of situation where we want to make sure we've got that quality microphone and it has that ability to reject any of the different noise that's coming from around us. Next up, you do need to think about a quiet environment. I actually have quite a bit of noise canceling, reflection canceling, different panels that sit here in my office. My office doubles as my recording studio. It triples as my personal space, a number of different things there. So you need to be thinking about all of the different background noise items that are coming across. If I were to turn on my ceiling fan, for instance, that might blow air across the microphone. It's a very quiet ceiling fan. But if I had a loud fan, I had, you know, one of those room fans that sits there, or I had an air conditioner sitting in the window, well, that would generate a lot of noise. So you have to think about all of these different things that are going to be interfering with your signal. And that signal, of course, is your message as well. So you want to remove these distractions, whether we're talking about with the workplace, with the office, or with the recording that Trudy is doing. Next up, you need to start thinking about what that microphone sensitivity is set to. For instance, you may increase that microphone sensitivity because you speak rather quietly. If you speak rather quietly, however, that microphone is going to start picking up a lot of other things that are all around you in the room. So you need to balance that out. You need to think about all of these different things that can be increasing what noise is being picked up as opposed to, again, your signal. There are things out there you can get. Noise reduction software for recording, and there are a lot of different features you can set up whenever you are recording. So you can set up things called gates and compressors so that if you are actually overpowering, well, I'm going to do underpowering the microphone, it will actually turn the microphone off. If I am quiet long enough with any of the microphones that I have here in studio, those microphones will actually automatically turn off. I've got just a couple of them here just in case I'm recording someone here and things like that. We don't have many in-studio recordings these days, but it's still powered up. It's still ready to go should I have a guest here in studio. The next thing, too, is that compressor. All right, so if I close in, if I start getting really loud, the system is set up to compress it down and to control my overall volume. It's designed that way so that I can actually speak louder and I can get up over that noise and it will just drift away off into the background. So there's a lot to that. And that's available in almost any of the audio software packages that are out there. I use a program called Goldwave. There's another one called Audacity. Audacity is free. Goldwave has a trial version. I've been using it for so long, and it's at such a low price. I just love it. Now, another thing to think about, too, is something like a pop filter. And a pop filter will reduce out some of the different wind sounds that might be blowing across your microphone, any kind of the what we call plosives. And plosives are involved whenever we're talking with P's and B's and T's. And you can hear a little bit of that plosive coming through, that pop that sounds out when I say some of these words. But it gives you kind of that idea. So just like soundproofing your car can improve your listening experience, these tips are going to help you achieve better sound quality in those recordings. I strongly suggest experimenting around and trying it out. David reached out to me, why does my laptop suddenly lose Wi-Fi connection every few minutes? And I'll tell you, I get it. And we do run into these different situations. I'm going to go through just a couple of different things that I shared with David. Router placement, you know, you want to make sure that your router isn't buried way over on the other side of the house underneath a whole bunch of different stuff behind a fridge or something like that. You need to move closer to the router. That may help with something like that. You can also update your network drivers. This is a key thing for a lot of people who are finding they've got dropouts. And those network drivers, I want you to get them from the manufacturer. Yes, if you've got Windows, they may be picked up from Microsoft. But Microsoft isn't going to have the latest and greatest. They're not going to have all of the different bells and whistles and features that the regular drivers do have. And some of those drivers will actually enable features that just make your signal better. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about choosing items like forgetting and reconnecting to the network, and that actually will help sometimes. Also, there's power saving features. You can start poking around in the network card, the network drivers, as well as rebooting the router itself. Sometimes your router, your Wi-Fi router may be sitting there. It may be on for a matter of 6 months. It never loses power. But I'll tell you, sometimes every electronic device needs to experience a reboot to clear up these mysterious issues that just find their way into whatever is going on. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
The phone number, 888-NERD, 888, that's 888-6373-888. Keith M. Sidor joins me now, and we started recently what we're referring to as an occasional series. We're going to sprinkle a little bit of the history of, well, it's more than the history. It's all about backups on the Mac, but we started off with the history of Mac backups before Time Machine. And we didn't even get up to Time Machine before the end of it.
No, and really the purpose was to illustrate what there was or how little there was in the way of reliable Mac backup that didn't rely on you, the user, dragging files to a floppy disk, a flash drive, or burning them onto a CD.
Yeah. All right. So let's move to what happened next. And what happened next was we got Time Machine on the Macs. When was that?
In 2007, the fall of 2007, when Apple was releasing Mac OS 10, 10.5 Leopard, predecessor to my favorite Mac operating system, Snow Leopard, which came out the following year or year and a half later. Basically, Steve Jobs did a really nice presentation talking about why they came out with Time Machine in the first place. Mm-hmm. And he went into great detail with some of the things I just mentioned about, you know, what was backup? How do you backup? How do you safeguard your files? And, you know, were you being responsible to yourself by dragging files to a floppy or burning them to a CD? And what if you forgot and then you had a problem? You needed something that was automated and going to do it for you. And when they released Time Machine, basically it was a twofold or double pronged approach to backup and restoration. So for the purposes of backup, Time Machine was software that was built into Mac OS X, later Mac OS, which because it's still built in today. And what it did was allow anybody with a hard drive that you could plug in either via USB or at the time FireWire and then later Thunderbolt to have a destination for a full and complete backup. Now, what's different about Time Machine than the way we used to backup individual files manually based upon priority, because you could grab a handful of files you've recently worked on, but then forget about stuff you did a couple months ago. With Time Machine, it does a whole system backup. And what I mean by that, Benjamin, is that when Time Machine backs up the computer, it backs up the whole computer.
Yeah.
And to that end, I don't just mean your files and your pictures and your music library. I mean your preferences, your settings, your desktop picture, the organization of the icons in your dock. You have a myriad of customizations, because I have people to this day saying, why do I need to back up my computer with Time Machine? I keep everything in the cloud. You know, I don't really store anything. I tell people, it's not just about your files. It's about the setup of the computer. So when Apple came out with Time Machine, it really was an answer to whole system backup. But beyond that, another great feature of Time Machine is the fact that, let's say you were working on a document last week and you thought it was on your desktop and you can't remember where it is. It's not there anymore. You tried searching for it with Spotlight. You're just not finding it. But you know you had that file on your desktop 3 days ago. Well, with Time Machine, there's a Time Machine app, which is separate but adjacent to the Time Machine backup. And when you launch the Time Machine app, put your thinking caps on and visualize this in your mind's eye. Have you ever been in a room with two mirrors opposite each other and you get that infinity effect?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So what this does, when you launch the Time Machine app, you basically get these tiled windows of your desktop that, and there's a slider on the right-hand side of the screen that you can literally scroll upwards, which represents back in time, and then these windows start flipping forward like pages in an old Filofax or an old Rolodex. And if you're not old enough to remember what a Rolodex is, look it up, kids. But you could go back in time to the point where you knew that file once existed and then have the desktop appear from that moment, and lo and behold, there's the file. Then you can select that file and bring it forward into the present moment onto your present desktop. And it is one of the neatest, coolest, dare I say, parlor tricks that really is quite practical on the modern Mac desktop.
You know, I never dove into any of the Time Machine backups or what. I've set it up. I've never really had to go to a backup on Time Machine.
Well, it's really a neat thing, and I will tell you, Benjamin, on a future installment of our Time Machine backup series, I'm going to tell you and all of our listeners about the very first time I ever had to do a time machine restoration. And what a relief it was, a little spoiler there, that it did work, but a relief it was compared to the old retrospect backup software nightmare that I had at a previous job. And we thought those computers were backed up, but when we needed to do a restoration, the backup files were nowhere to be found.
And we've got a lot of other things to be covering. We've got to be talking about, I think we're going to talk about Time Capsule. We're going to talk about the airport products. We're going to talk, actually, along the way, about what people should do now for backups.
Absolutely.
And this is a nice series. When we get all complete with this, I'm going to set this up as its own file for people to listen to the entire thing so that they'll be able to catch up all at once.
Won't that be exciting, Benjamin?
It will be. Imagine, we just went through all of these references to Time Machine, but never referenced a DeLorean. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell, and
this is Keith M. Cedor.
You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Benjamin Rockwell. Most of us use digital cameras nowadays, but what do we do with those old pictures and slides in the back of the closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. If you have boxes of old slides, then you know they fade more and more each year. Let Legacy Digital scan them for you and stop the aging process dead in its tracks. You'll get beautiful 10-megapixel digital files, color-corrected and ready for printing. All this is done faster and cheaper than buying a film scanner and doing it yourself. Your files are then burned onto gold archival DVD discs where they will last for generations. Call right now, mention my name, Benjamin Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY. And tell them Benjamin sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
The phone number 888-NERD-888. That's 888-6373-888. Marty Winston joins me now. And Marty, we've got to start thinking about holiday shopping.
What are you getting me?
I haven't figured it out yet. I'm hoping that through our conversation here, I'll get some ideas.
Well, there's...
That's what I tell my wife all the time.
There's always room for gift cards.
Okay, there you go.
And by the way, that's also true for... Look, I want to focus because I think enough of us out there who... Well, not everybody knows what they're doing in this realm. You got to work from home. Maybe 5 days a week, maybe 9 days a week, maybe one day a week, but you got to work from home.
Yeah. The world has distinctly changed in that regard, yeah.
Indeed. And sometimes when you work from home, you can't be at home because something's happening at home and you got to go to a coffee shop or somewhere. So, travel and all of that has its ugly head. So let's get into things that people who work from home might find useful.
Okay.
And let's start with travel and mention charging.
Yes, if definitely.
Your current phone eats more power during charging than any phone you've had before, right?
Yeah.
Right? It does not necessarily take longer if you've kept up with the right rating on a charger. But you probably have friends who put it on the charger, 3 or 4 days and then still find it's only up to half. So,
yes, I've seen that.
Let's talk gallium arsenide and those new chargers that don't overheat when they're pumping up a lot of juice suggest that's on the shopping list.
Yes.
Get them a faster, better, more powerful charger.
The easy way to look for that is capital G, lowercase a, capital N.
That will do it.
And just look for those chargers. Those are going to be the far more efficient, far faster chargers. Yes.
Indeed. Now, the paperless office never happened.
And I don't think it ever will, but...
Well, outside of the bathroom.
We're getting closer, but yeah.
Well, sometimes the bathroom's paperless, but you got to take care of that. I'm fond of Epson printers. Yeah. They've always done pretty well by me. Even the one I have right now is crippled and getting by on kind of one leg, but it still works.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah.
What I love about it, I haven't ever had to buy more ink for it because it's an Eco Tank. It's in their Eco Tank series.
Okay.
With the big squirt bottles of ink that you can go in and refill.
It's a big, huge tank. Is it outside of it?
Oh, no. The tank still fits inside.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you don't have to open the top anymore. It's a front load, but you that tank is refillable, and that's the difference of Eco Tank. So, you know, if you don't have anything against Epson, take a look at the Epson Eco Tank line. It spans a lot of different stuff. There are many models to tailor it. So decide what your recipient needs or what you want to spend and narrow it down to Eco Tank. And I think they'll be happy. Some of those include fax or scanner features. I'm not actually, nobody uses real fax anymore.
You would think that, but I did have to send a fax about 2 months ago.
And the online service did it, right?
No, not for this one. I had to fax over a document, so I had to truck halfway across the city over to the local FedEx place or whatever it is.
You know?
paid like $2 for this. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Now, home offices.
Yeah.
Always a confined space, never big enough.
Yeah. Very true.
And it's really, really hard to fit a second monitor on the desk.
Okay.
But there is another way. Your wall can be a second monitor with a fairly inexpensive little projector.
Sure. Yes. Yes, definitely.
In fact, some Anchor, for example, has some that are kind of soda can size. So
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You can be really small there. For your comfort, for their comfort.
Yeah.
Humidifiers or the things I call de-stinkifiers, air purifiers.
Yeah.
I try to find ones that don't cost you a fortune in filter replacements over time. And they're out there. Yeah. And that's a way you may want to look. Shredders.
Okay.
How much stuff is coming in you never want anybody else to see? Right?
Way too much. I have a box that sits over here, and that is my burn box is what that is.
Okay.
Hey, it saves on firewood. What can I say? Although I imagine if I ever have the cops show up, they're going to be leafing through a lot of papers there.
Well, it's probably micro robots by now.
yeah.
Scanners with automatic document feeds. Anytime you've got to ingest things on paper that are more than one page.
Yes.
Something because, look, if you're out there and you're getting younger, you may not need this, but I'm going to suggest a magnifying glass or a Fresnel lens.
Okay, sure.
Also, a mini workbench size vacuum, the handhelds. You can find these at Home Depot, for example.
Yeah.
And a Yeti cup. I don't care if it's there to keep your coffee warm, if you're still on that fix where you need caffeine every 20 minutes, or keep water in there and just stay hydrated. Either way, it's better for you than not having it there.
Yeah, the Yeti cup is a very nice cup. We've got a few of those in the house. And
well, I'm coming over to your house and robbing them.
Marty, why are you here?
Hello.
You traveled
over there.
How many miles to get here? Oh, wow. A lot of good ideas there. A lot of good Christmas idea building there. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Marty Winston. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and just a normal person. Recently, though, it was clear to me that it was time to upgrade, but I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After searching around for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their willingness to do things the right way. The site ground salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when a 32-ounce soda would do. These guys know WordPress, Joomla, and regular standard websites. These guys at SiteGround are awesome. SiteGround.com. Site, S-I-T-E, ground.com. The bad guys are out to get you. They're out to get me. They're out to get everybody they can. And this is the time of the year coming up right now. It's that holiday season, and we are going to be going through and planning all of our Christmas purchases. We're going to be planning for Black Friday specials, Cyber Monday wonders, and so much more. And what happens when we start reaching out to spend more money? There are people lining up to take it. And no, I'm not referring to all of the different stores out there, all of the different Amazon, Walmart, all of that, that the usual sites that we usually shop through Christmas. No, I'm referring to the scammers. And they are lining up with every different idea that they can come up with to bring you closer to their goal, your money. Look, I want you to take a pause with every email, with every pop-up, with every ad, with every different contact that you may get, whether it's text message, it's a LinkedIn message, Facebook Messenger, whatever it is. You need to stop and pause and think about, is this a legitimate purchase? Is this a legitimate company? Is this somebody who's posing as Amazon or Walmart or whoever else? Is this really the path that I am feeling safe going down? Look, there's going to be so many different things that are going to pop up. I can't even begin to prepare you for these things by specifying every single different idea they have. They're going to offer you all kinds of different great prices on not only technology, but every single hot item that they think that you might buy. They're going to leverage every tool that they have. So pause. Take a minute. Think about this. Think about every single step that you're taking. Yes, you may be saving time. You may find, oh, this would be great for Jack or Jane or Jill or Johnny, whoever it is. You may think this is the greatest gift ever, but doesn't it even really exist? Is this some kind of weird invention from AI? Is this a scammer behind this? Is this really where I want to be spending my time? Like, the holiday seasons aren't just about gift giving. But we have gone in that direction where there's a lot of different people we do want to buy for. We do want to take care of them. So slow down. If you can find a product, you see a product out there that's just pulling you in, it's drawing your attention, find out if it's available through your normal Amazon purchases. Find out if it's available at the local stores. And it doesn't matter which store. I've named off just a couple of these, but the entire expanse is so wide, so deep. There are so many different places we normally shop. And you can just check in with them and see if perhaps the legitimate product is available from a legitimate retailer instead of some weird place that you've never heard of. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country. But many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. TheRadioFactory.com.
Laptops, thumb drives, and a wall charger. A sure sign that our nerd is here again. Bringing you news and knowledge from the world of computers and technology, here's Benjamin Rockwell with Computer Talk Radio.
We are halfway through this week's Computer Talk Radio. This is radio's broadest look at computers, technology, and how they impact you, me, all of us. And there are so many different things to talk about. Of course, the website is ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. The phone number, 888-NERD, 888. That's 888-637-3888. We're available for all of your questions, whatever they may be, so feel free to reach out at either location. Helping us make good, of course, on our promise of radio's broadest look at computers, technology, and all of that is Steve Keske, who joins me now. And Steve, what did you want to talk about this week?
Well, I do a little update on QR codes.
QR codes, okay.
And so, barcodes.
Yeah, so most people are kind of familiar with the idea of barcodes over the year, over the years.
Yeah.
But it is a constantly evolving world.
Tell me.
What we started off with UPC codes, those simple barcodes that are on pretty much every canned good, every boxed good that you find down at the supermarket, at Walmart, Target, wherever. Those gave way to what you've referenced already, and that is QR codes. And that's those squares with all of the funny
squiggles in them.
Dots in them. Yes, exactly.
Squiggles. You know, you can have it in squares, rectangles, and circles.
Yeah, yeah.
But just for a little note here, last year they issued approximately little over 16 billion barcodes.
That is, that's a few.
That's just a few. And it's going up.
Yeah.
I mean, the barcode on the product, then they put another barcode on the package, then they put another barcode when it's on a pallet, and then when the pallet goes into a,
truck.
Yeah. Or into a
container. Onto a ship.
That gets another barcode. And they're going, say what? All of that? And I'm saying, yeah. And the reason why they're wanting to go more to QR codes is because you can put more information in a QR code than you can do in a barcode.
Yes. The that whole concept of the QR code has enabled a lot more information to be transferred over. I don't know. Actually, I'm pretty sure that actually is variable. They just increase the size of the QR code in a few situations where they need that higher amount of information.
Well, think of it this way. On that QR code, the cow is on somebody's ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's in the QR code. Well, it went the cow went to this particular stockyards. That's in the QR code.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's been going through the meat processing.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the QR code.
Yeah.
Now you get down to the point where, okay, what package is it in? That's in the QR code. It goes to the grocery store. That's in the QR code. Now it goes out on the front of the store, and you pick it up out of the meat products.
Yeah.
All right. And that QR code's still there. Now you have it. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got the QR code. Now you get home and you find out that it's rancid.
Yeah.
So they take the QR code off the package when you take it back to the store. And now the USDA now can track it all the way back down to the ranch where that cow came from.
Yeah. So so right now, I looked this up. If it's numbers only, the maximum amount of characters is 7,000. If it's alphanumeric, almost 4,300. And that is that's a significant amount of information that that you can find there.
Yeah, if you know what to look, how to decode it.
Yeah,
but I always liked the when I first looked at a barcode. I'm saying, what the heck is this? And how do I read it? But you can't read it unless you're a computer. Whoa, then why have it on the, you know?
Yeah. Although these days, have you dealt at all with using your smartphone?
No.
For reading QR codes? So that's, I know since you're legally blind, you may not be aware of some of these different aspects of it. But so during COVID, after we were able to start going to restaurants, they didn't want to hand out menus.
Yeah.
So you would sit down at your table, and on the table would be a little sticker with a QR code on it. You'd scan it with your phone, and the menu would be constantly updated on a web page or something like that. And you could just pull it up. And there's a lot of different directions that they can go in with that. For instance, you could load up an application for that particular restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
But then we started seeing scammers getting into the middle of that. And that's, that kind of started to kill some of those ideas.
Now you want to know the ultimate in QR codes?
Okay.
They're putting them on gravestones.
Okay.
So you can have your picture on the QR code. You can have your bio on there. Your obituary and a whole bunch of other stuff can be in that QR code.
Hmm.
And I'm going, oh, geez.
That just sounds a little
strange. Out
there. I'm not sure. As nerdy as I am, I'm not sure that I would want a QR code
on my
sitting on my gravestone.
For the world to see. It's bad enough my name is on it, you know, much less all of our side stuff.
And the QR code. So here's just a thought. I know that you and your late wife, the two of you would go to grave markers.
Yeah.
That was one of the hobby things you did for a while.
Sure.
Was to go to gravestones and document them on findagrave.com.
Findagrave.com.
Yeah, okay. And you guys would take pictures of those and document those out. But
yeah,
I want to, you know, some of the you were saying that they sometimes these cemeteries were centuries old. And I can't imagine 200 years from now that they're going to be able to even decipher the QR codes because things will have changed
by then.
Just a tad. So, you know, maybe for the nerdiest amongst us, but I'm not that nerdy. My wife really isn't that nerdy to require. I mean,
I'm not that nerdy either.
So I it seems like an oddity to me.
Yeah, and I mean, I can foresee someday they're saying, "Wow, we got rid of the QR codes. Well, what did you do it instead? Oh, we did these type of photo stuff, you know."
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, you did that? Yeah, because you can put all these different things in that one piece of element, and you got all these different colors, and you got all this different other stuff.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, the color ones, those are high-capacity QR codes. But you have to have a color printer. You have to have something to be able to print those.
Them.
And a lot of the plus over the years has been it's just another replacement of the old fashioned UPC code, which was which was a matter of whatever 10 or 12 digits in that. Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, but yeah, I can foresee a lot of different things taking the place of the QR codes and the and the UPC codes and all the rest and going through, and I'm going, why would we want to have all that information available when all I have to do is take my camera on my cell phone and I can take a picture of it, and now I have access to all that information?
Sure. Yeah, it is an interesting portion of time that we're in right now, where those QR codes are going to be used. I'm going to guess probably another 10 years, and then we will have something new to replace those. Who knows?
In my lifetime, I have watched many, many things come and go.
Yes.
And get replaced by something else that's supposed to be even better.
That's exactly the direction I'm thinking. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Steve Kesky. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. You have a couple of those new carbon open frame racks from CyberPower, right?
Yeah, I love them. I configured a 25U to 40 inches deep, about twice as deep as a regular rack, and put more than a dozen peripherals in it.
You know, I saw your article about it. I can't believe it's not clutter.
And my 45U carbon rack, that's also 40 inches deep, will hold a ton of networking and control systems, the network video recorder.
Holy screwdriver, Rackman!
You're getting one of their gorgeous enclosed racks soon.
Oh yeah, the 24U. Bigger than their wall-mount carbon racks, but smaller than their tall boy.
Did you see what's happening with carbon on the CyberPower website?
Oh yeah, the promo, 10% off all their racks and rack accessories through the end of September. I put a link up at computertalkradio.com. ComputerTalkRadio.com. The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com. ComputerTalkRadio.com. Recently, the Federal Trade Commission, they finalized their click-to-cancel rule. And this whole click-to-cancel rule has a lot of different elements that they say that must be eliminated when you are trying to cancel something. So this is a great move towards removing something called dark patterns. And I've talked about this before. And as a matter of fact, a lot of what I'm going to talk about here for the next short little while is it was found originally on darkpatterns.org. They have changed the website name. If you go there, it'll shift up a little bit. It'll go take it to the new website. But it still talks about this same concept. The whole concept is you and I travel the internet. We're always facing a lot of different dangers that are lurking out there. And we drift our way through the mazes of these different actions and responses and choices that we can make and we do make. However, so much of the internet is truly geared against us. It's kind of like going to the casino, and it will lure you into spending just another dollar at the slot machines or a few more dollars at whatever other game that they might have out there. Even worse, you know, you probably know that carnival games are really, they're not really winnable. And yet sometimes we fall prey thinking somehow we can beat them. We can throw the ball just right. We can throw the hoop just right, whatever it is. So these dark patterns are going to exist even if some of the big players out there have to get rid of them, whether we're talking about the cable company or the phone company or whoever it is. Some of them will get rid of these different dark patterns. But they come in so many different forms that you need to watch out for them. This information is so important that we all need to take notice. So this this term, dark patterns. It was coined by Harry Brignall, whose dark patterns, he says these patterns are user interfaces that have been carefully crafted to trick users into doing things, such as buying insurance with a purchase or signing up for recurring bills. All of these dark patterns rely on our impatience, where we're going to skim and skip through the mess. The internet has enabled this. There's so much information that's flying in front of our eyes that somehow we think, oh, we know what this says. So we just bypass it. We go, oh, yeah, I read all of this. And we make a lot of assumptions. Think about the idea that Mark Zuckerberg wouldn't create an end-user license agreement where the small print would have us sell our digital soul. And, well, if you start ignoring those things, you start running into problems, such as recent issues with Disney and a few other places where they set something in their end user license agreement that said, no, you can't sue us ever if you use any of our products, any of our services whatsoever, forever. Yeah. So essentially, a dark pattern is a lie. It simply says one thing, and it really means something else. The easy one we think about is the bait and switch. You set out to do one thing, but a different, undesirable thing happens instead. Imagine always being used to hitting cancel on a particular prompt. You're always clicking cancel. You close down a window using the X or whatever it is. But now the instruction spells out right there in very small print that if you hit cancel, then your interaction is approved. I used to install a great software that had this unfortunate little trick added for what we would refer to as a leech software, another application that would install on your computer at the same time. And I used to really enjoy that software package. I do not refer to them very often these days. Haven't for probably 5 years. I do refer to a couple of their other programs very carefully, but I avoid them because this trick really spoiled my experience. This trick has even been used by Microsoft, where they were trying to get everyone to load up Windows 10 and Windows 11, and they would say, you know, you would close the notice window, which used to mean, yeah, I'm ignoring it. It would actually give them the idea and the wherewithal to say, you accepted to this upgrade. You said it was okay for us to do this. Then there are disguised ads. These are advertisements that are disguised as some other kind of content or navigation in order to get you to click on them. We've seen this, and the best comparison here is it's still rampant out there on various news sites, and it'll even be fashioned just like all of their other news items there, their various articles. It'll be somehow shocking enough or interesting enough that it draws you in. It leads you to another page where you found it's a pitch for some celebrity who's somehow signed on to helping them sell this or that. It's something you would never have chosen had you known that it was leading to an ad. There's nothing there that says it's an ad. And that's a problem. That's a very dark pattern out there. Then there's the forced continuity, and a lot of this comes into play when we're talking about that Federal Trade Commission click-to-cancel rule. And that's when your free trial with the service comes to an end and your credit card silently gets a charge to it without any warning. And sometimes this is made worse by making it difficult to cancel the membership. You know, we've seen this time and time again. Magazine subscriptions or free trials at the gym. There's so many different subscription sites out there that promise the moon and then deliver nothing but bills. Look, I don't want you to share your credit card for anything that's supposed to be free. Oh, we just want to give we want to validate your credit card just in advance, just in case you want to continue with us. We want it on file for the subscription if you choose to go that route. And yeah, this free trial, it ends very quietly, and so does the script. And likewise, the subscription starts up almost as silently as that. Look, we've got to avoid this. We've got to be very careful. When you see free trial, you've got to remember nothing in this life is for free. The next one up here, confirm shaming. It's the idea of guilting you, the user, into opting into something. The option to decline, to say no, is worded actually in such a way as to shame you into compliance with what they want. Imagine you go to this website and you think it's an informational website and you're just doing research in regards to children starving in Africa. And when you close down the window, it gives you a prompt. Why are you leaving? Why are you leaving our site? This is important information. Are you so insensitive as to leave these poor children starving to death? Are you related to Mr. Scrooge? Yeah. They try to guilt you into continuing. And I'll tell you, the people that have used this, it's not just the small sites everywhere. Concept like this have been used by Google, by Amazon, and Microsoft, and there's a host of other companies where they seem like they're kidding. But when you answer no, it gives this answer that you give, it treats it like a shameful connotation here that leaves you in this no-win situation. This is something to be very careful about. All of these dark patterns are, and there are more of these. There's so many of these that I couldn't just rattle these off in 10 minutes. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to go through more of these different items. Again, you can check out some of the latest ones at darkpatterns.org. That's where I got a lot of the idea for covering this from. And I'll tell you, it's a good website. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
The phone number, 888-NERD, 888, that's 888-6373, 888. I've been talking about dark patterns, and today you and I are tricked into so many different things through the usage of dark patterns. We have to keep our guard up. We have to be prepared because some of these dark patterns are simply moving our desired option into something dark on a dark background, and the undesirable option into something that implies that we want, but it's something we actually don't want. It's set up in a bright color. It says, yes, click here. And that's unfortunate. This has led the Federal Trade Commission, as I've talked about, they've gone with this click to cancel rule, and they're working for us. They're fighting against the idea of anything that is deceptive. And for years, we had all of these different things, these ideas that you sign up for something and, oh, yeah, you sign up for it. And if you don't like it, you can cancel any time. They don't tell you that, yeah, you can cancel any time as long as you've got 6 hours to sit on a phone on hold and then another hour where somebody's sitting there and going, well, are you really sure? This is something you really want. You made, like the gym membership, you know, you made your New Year's resolution and you really, really should lose weight. I mean, don't you want to just give us one more shot, one more try? Come on down. You know what? Actually, I'll tell you what. I'll waive this month's fee if you come on in and just give it a shot. Give it one more shot. And if you don't like it, if you don't like our gym, you can just come on back and I'll cancel it next time you call. What? I'm going to sit on hold another 6 hours for this? No. But, you know, we've there's a lot that's there. They're trying to break us down and just get us to relent and let them just keep charging us. Just like whatever subscriptions you might be a part of, think of all of these different streaming companies. There's so many of them. Anyways, let me get into some of these other different dark patterns that we've been talking about. I sourced a number of these from darkpatterns.org. The website has changed their name, but it goes to the new website and it still does the same thing. So let's talk about this next one. Privacy Zuckering. You are tricked into publicly sharing more information about yourself than you really intended to. Now, this is actually named after Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, and it seems self-explanatory to me, but I'll tell you that there are a lot of different apps, a lot of different companies, a lot of different places around the internet that are starting to ask. They've been empowered by what Mark Zuckerberg did with Facebook. They feel empowered to ask you things that you don't want to give out. They don't have any right to ask. You know, you download some of these apps and these apps, a gaming app. I downloaded a game and it said, we want to track your location. Why do you need to track my location for something that has no location-based anything to it? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. The next one, the Roach Motel. And this design makes it very easy for you to get into a certain situation, but then it's hard to get out of that. Like subscriptions, we've talked about those already a bit, but phone trees. I want you to think about it like those phone trees. You're looking for tech support. You're looking for customer service, whatever it is, and you spend time, lots of it, trying to just get to a live person. But eventually you think you're there and you wind up in their voicemail. Another one is where they give you a checkbox in small print that's unchecked, but you have to actually check that checkbox to avoid a recurring fee or a subscription. There's another one which has died down for a little while, but I'm fairly sure as we hit this Christmas season, we're going to see more. And that is the sneak into basket. That's where you attempt to purchase something, but somewhere in the purchasing journey, that website sneaks an additional item into your basket, often through the use of an opt-out radio button or checkbox on a prior page. You pick up a tech device and the cord's not included. So they offer you the cord, but then you get to the end of the purchase process and you find out the cord is overpriced because it includes an insurance policy not only for the cord, which is ridiculous, but also for the tech device itself. But you never actually checked anything that said, hey, I want that insurance policy on there. So they snuck it into your basket. So you got to be careful about those. Then there's the trick questions. You respond to a question, which you read it over quickly. It appears to ask one thing, but if you read it with a fine-tooth comb, you find out that it actually asks an entirely different thing. Three questions in a row that read three different ways. You stop and read. You're puzzled by why one says yes and the next requires no and the next requires yes. This is all a trick. And they will do things like this all the way across, trying to drag us in. The next one, hidden costs. You get to the last step of a checkout process only to discover some unexpected charges have appeared. Delivery charges, additional taxes, and some of that. Some of the sites that offer to sell you things add all of the additional charges at the end. They excuse this as you've already made it this far and you're just going to accept whatever's given to you. And this is something where you need to fight back. You need to say, you know what? Maybe I don't need this particular $20 product if it has a $50 shipping fee. Unfortunately, I've recently come across this exact same thing on Amazon. I thought I was ordering a regular product off of Amazon, and it was, about $20, which was a little bit better than the $25 Amazon Prime fee. But I decided, okay, I'll go with that. And when I moved to the checkout, I found out it had a $50 shipping fee because it wasn't coming directly from Amazon. It was coming from somewhere else. This is all a matter of misdirection, which is the last one I'm going to talk about. This design purposefully focuses your attention on one thing in order to distract your attention from another. You download a software and you almost click that big, huge green button that says install. And then you find out that it also offers this other free antivirus software, even though you might already have one. There's a lot of these different things. Look, keep an eye out for these dark patterns. If you find a new one that I haven't covered, reach out to me at computertalkradio.com. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hey guys, this is Benny Rockwell. Most of us use video cameras nowadays, but what about those old movie films in the back of your closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. Imagine Grandpa's old 8mm and 16mm films that are just sitting in a box getting old and fading away. Legacy Digital will clean and recondition those films, capture them digitally frame by frame, and then produce beautiful DVDs of your precious memories on long-lasting archive-quality discs. They don't use a projector, and your films can't be damaged in the process, the best available for families like yours. The final results are gorgeous. What better way to preserve those precious memories for future generations? Call right now. Mention my name, Benny Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY, 1-866-253-4229. And tell them Benny sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. This is where we talk about computers, the workplace, and everything in between. A buddy of mine, Oscar, reached out to me, and he was struggling with his resume. He was coming into a situation where he felt like he was not getting enough attention to all of these different applications he was putting out. And he forwarded his resume over to me, and this is where we start to get into more of that technology field where we are so tempted to dive in. We're so tempted to look at different options that we kind of forget what they are. I looked his resume over, and as I'm going through, I realized that there were a number of empty terms that were being used in them in this resume, and these different terms were kind of generic. And I said, Oscar, who wrote your resume for you? He said, ChatGPT. And then I knew the problem, or at least one potential problem. His resume was filled with a lot of AI generated emptiness. It did not capture the soul of who he was. It really came across as a robotic speech about the job he wanted, the job he was seeking, the various directions that he wanted to go in, but without capturing what was really individualistic about him, that key component that we all need to set ourselves apart from others. The latest statistics out there say that there are probably around 25% of the resumes that are out there that are being generated by nothing more than artificial intelligence. And if you're going to go to ChatGPT, if you're going to go to Microsoft Copilot or any of these different AI platforms and you're going to seek for them to generate your resume, you're going to find your resume does not look different from those others, but very close to those others that are generated out there. That's rough. That is disturbing when you're trying to get a role based on you. So what is the secret here? What is the key thing that we all need to be paying attention to? And that is that ChatGPT, artificial intelligence, whatever its form is, needs to be double-checked, triple-checked. You need to use ChatGPT if you're using it for anything, much like the line from Pirates of the Caribbean, the first movie, more as a, not so much as a rule, but as a guideline. You need to have it set up your framework. You need to use it to give you ideas. But really, you need to be, as a human, going through every single word that it puts out. You need to make sure that it's not copying anything that you've put into it and treating that response that you get out of it as golden. It's not silver. It's barely even bronze. So what do we need to do here? Watch for those buzz terms. A lot of those different buzz terms, the buzz phrases, buzz words that you're using need to be backed up with real examples. They need to dive deep into how that works. Okay, so if you call yourself a team player, you need to explain why you're a team player, how you're a team player, what benefit that brings with you to the job. This idea of cutting and pasting and just dropping it in isn't going to work. You need to pay attention to everything there. You need to make sure that your sentence structures, your bullet points, your everything is words out of your own mouth. If you typically communicate on a certain level and all of a sudden you're sitting there, you're going, oh, ChatGPT makes me sound so much smarter, that may be a sign for you. I've never heard of this buzzword before. Maybe you need to think about pulling that out. You need to be going through every single bit of this. And you need to be thinking about how you're approaching it. Anything you're doing with artificial intelligence should be a starting point. It should be your first run at this, a first draft. But then you need to go over it again and again and again. You need to make your resume not so much of a rehash of what the job posting was, but personalized. Everything about it should be talking about you and how you are different from the others. Everything you should be putting into whatever you're putting out, whether it's a resume, whether it's a new article, a new document that you're doing, it should look like you put every word on that page, not some faceless automaton that barely understands the real world. You need to stand out as a human being that has brains, blood coursing through the veins, and a passion for that job. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and, well, a normal person. Recently, though, it became clear to me that it was time to upgrade. I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After looking for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their care, their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when all I needed was a 1-gallon bucket. The folks at SiteGround know WordPress, Joomla, and more. SiteGround.com, S-I-T-E, ground.com for your web hosting needs. SiteGround. Tom reached out to me. He sent a link to me at computertalkradio.com, and this link led to a conversation that starts off with not all heroes wear capes, and he wanted my feedback. Actually, he knew what my feedback would be. He did comment on that, but he thought it would make for a good conversation, a good little item to cover here on the show. So again, it says, not all heroes wear capes. And then it goes on, urgent. Does anyone have a picture of a laptop with a broken screen that's not from Google and that you've personally taken? It's for science. And the following comments after that in this link, they went through and the conversation went really direct and it was really honest. It was a matter of the person was posting a request for this picture to point out to a professor of all things. They're trying to use this kind of as a work excuse, but it's a school excuse. Oh, my computer broken and I couldn't turn in my term paper. And I'll tell you, The idea that anybody would reach out for this out to a public group is ridiculous. The idea that anybody would do this is scary. And yes, so they went through and the story continues on. Apparently, it worked. And they got a passing grade. They got a passing grade in this class because they managed to pass off that, oh, my computer didn't work. But I'll tell you, this also has a deeper implication because what that says is the person, the original poster who actually received a picture from someone who actually presented it and all of that and got a passing grade, the only thing that they learned was not what they needed to learn in the class. It wasn't what they needed to learn in other classes like ethics and morals and all of that. What they learned was how to cheat the system. And that's not right. You're not learning. You're not bettering yourself. You're not bettering society. You're not doing anybody a service here. And you're actually doing yourself a disservice if you don't work to be above board, to be honest, to learn what you're supposed to learn. And this is just an echo of many things that other people have done in various directions. They fake doctor's notes and stuff like that. But this is probably one of the further reaching implications in that you didn't learn whatever it is you needed to learn in that class. And you may get a degree in that, and you may move forward through life thinking that you know whatever it is, that physics problem that was taught that one day in class or whatever, but you don't. You're not prepared for your job. You're not prepared for life. You're not prepared to be honest about whatever predicament that got you into this where your computer didn't work, so you lied. That's just wrong. But that's just my opinion. Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio, so I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country, but many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with TheRadioFactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, The Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. TheRadioFactory.com.